We're continuing in our Christmas series, For Us. Everybody say, For Us. We looked at A Child is Born last week. Today we're looking at the fact that a son is given. Now, before I read from the scripture this morning, I want you to think about if you have had the privilege of having children. I'd like you to think about your son or your daughter. This will help you to understand the gift that God has given to us. So I'd like you to kind of think about how much you care for your child, how much you love your son, how much you love your daughter. For us, a son is given, and we're taking out of Isaiah chapter 9 for our Christmas series, the context. And I'd like to read out of the Gospel of Luke. So in your Bibles, would you turn to Luke chapter 2, please? Luke chapter 2. You've got some blue pew Bibles right in front of you there. Turn to Luke chapter 2. And would you stand with me? I want to read a number of verses here out of Luke chapter 2. It's entitled The Prophecy of Simeon. Let's stand together as I read from the Word of God, and then we're going to look at this gift. For us, a son is given. And you can follow along as I read. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which has been prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him, and then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, the baby's mother. Now, you know, when you go into the maternity ward, these are not the kinds of words I would suggest that you say to the mom of the baby. Like, because this, up until this point, all is well. But then Simeon says these words, and how these words had to puzzle Mary, the mother of Jesus. "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall." How would you like somebody to say that about your newborn baby? Then he went on to say, "But he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God." And now he says this to the mother with he didn't say, "and a few are going to oppose him," but he said, "many." Would you please say many? "Many will oppose him." I mean, how this must have, I think Mary's heart was got to be troubled at this point. But then he says this: "As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." And now look, he says to Mary, "and a sword will pierce your very soul." I mean, that's something to say to a mother, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the promise of Christmas. I thank you that a child has been born for us. And Lord, as we think about our sons and our daughters and how much they mean to us, if we've been fortunate enough to have sons or daughters, I want to thank you today that a son has been given for us. A son has been given. And so, Lord, I just pray in a greater measure for every one of us that are in this place today that we'll understand the gift of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And everyone said together, all right, thank you. Please be seated. Now, just want to say this. If you are here and if you're able to help us, there are some poinsettias in the Welcome Center that there are people that would love to be here this morning, but they can't be here because they are shut-ins. And they're needing just a visit, just a drop off. And we have a few more poinsettias there. So if you'd like to drop off a poinsettia to a shut-in, there will be some people at the Welcome Center. And if you're a guest with us, we would love to meet with you in the Connection Cafe. We'll be there right after the service. You'll see there's some coffee, some juice there. We'd love to meet you in there as soon as this is over. For us, a son is given. Well, first of all, what we see in Simeon's life is this: the Son of God must be seen. The Son of God must be seen. "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen." Would you please say those last three words with me? "I have seen." Now, I'll tell you something. If you don't see the Son of God, you can't die in peace. Actually, this week we had one of our members of our congregation, Randy Johnson. He just, as I was coming into the office today, said, "Pastor Doug, can I speak to you?" We went into my office. He said, "You know what happened today? My father went into the presence of the Lord. My dad passed away." His dad was 90 years of age. And he said to me, "You know, my mom passed away on a Sunday and my dad passed away on a Sunday. And it's sad, but when we know that that person has seen the Lord, there's a great sense of comfort that comes to us." And if you're in this building today, and if you're under the sound of my voice, if you have seen the Son of God, you know it. There's a difference. You know exactly when you saw him. You know exactly the change that he's made in your heart. The Son of God must be seen. For us, a son is given. And if this is going to happen to any one of us, first of all, people must have their blinders taken off. In Bible college, when we were learning about soteriology, learning about the study of salvation, the study of Christ, when we were learning about how God brings his grace to us, they talked about a window in a house. And the window was very, very high. And around the house was everyone in the world, and no one could see in that window. And inside of that window was the cross and Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world. And grace worked, prevenient grace worked so that the people who couldn't see in the window, prevenient grace lifts you up so that you can see, so that you can see into that window, and then you have a choice. So it's not a mental understanding of Jesus. It's a real seeing him and a real receiving him. And if that's going to happen, people must have their blinders taken off. Because if this good news that we preach, this gospel, if it's hidden behind a veil, it's hidden only from people who are perishing. And it talks here about the battle that goes on for the souls of men and women. Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And so if you, during this Christmas season, have family or friends that you're going to be sharing Christmas dinner with, and they may mentally know who Jesus is. They may mentally understand the story of Christmas, but they've never seen him. You need to pray that the blinders will come off. He's blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious night news, the glorious light, rather, of the good news of the gospel. And so the Son of God must be seen. People have to have their blinders. And I like this image because it's kind of over the mind. You know, it's not just to see him mentally, but it needs to take that 18-inch journey when the blinders come off from the mind to the heart. They need to have their blinders taken off. And it's the Holy Spirit who allows us to behold Jesus Christ. Simeon beheld Jesus Christ, and it's interesting, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for a season, but in the New Testament, the New Testament after Christ came and he rose, the Holy Spirit lives inside of the believer, but it's interesting what it says here about Simeon. It says, he was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And so we see that even in the old covenant still sense, the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. And it says it had revealed to him, the Holy Spirit had, that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now, I think there's something in this scripture about how we see Christ. About if we've seen Christ, how we should be. Isn't this a great description of someone who's seen Christ? He was a righteous and a devout person. Isn't that what we should be? If we've seen the Lord, shouldn't we be righteous and shouldn't we be devoted? And shouldn't we be eagerly awaiting for the Messiah to come? And so the Holy Spirit is the one who allows us to behold Jesus Christ. Because it's only when the blinders come off and it's only when we behold Jesus Christ that we truly can see him. And when we see him, then we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says God is not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should receive him. And in the Old Testament, there was a time when the people of God were complaining. And so God sent them serpents, and the serpents began to bite the people of God, and the people of God began to die. And so God told Moses to take a serpent and to lift it up on a pole, and that when the serpent was lifted up on the pole, that anybody who looked at the serpent would live. Now, when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, John tells us that this was a picture of Christ. As Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. You see, when we've seen the Lord, we don't wonder if we're born again. When we've seen the Lord, we don't wonder if we have eternal life. When we see the Lord, we know that we have eternal life because it's the gift that comes from God. And so the Son of God, first of all, must be seen. For us, a son is given. We need to see him. My prayer is this. If I'm asking you this question, do you know for sure that you have seen the Son of God? Do you know for sure that you've received the gift of eternal life? If you can't answer yes, my prayer is that today you'll say yes to Jesus. He must be seen. Secondly, the Son of God and the Son of God alone brings salvation. There is salvation found in no other name, for God has given one name under heaven among men by which we must be saved, and his name is correct. The Son of God alone brings your salvation. Simeon said, I have seen, as he's holding the Christ child, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. Would you please say all people? And circle that in your notes. The Son of God has been prepared for all people. You see, the people of God, the people of the promise, the children of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the nation of Israel, they thought that the promises of God were just for them. But we even see in the birth of Christ that when that star, when God gave that star, that the wise men came from the east and they were people of other nations. And the Son of God brings salvation to all people. There is no other way that salvation can come. And all of the Old Testament pointed towards the coming of God's Messiah in those promises of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. There was a time when God called Abraham to sacrifice his one and only son. And if you look at the biblical account in that story of Abraham, that's exactly the words that were used. God said to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your one and only son. And many of you will be familiar with that story of Abraham, but here was the situation. Abraham had been promised that Sarah was going to birth him a son, and that this son would be a blessing to all of the generations that would follow, that this son would actually bring forth the coming of God's Messiah who would save the world. And so Abraham and Sarah were trusting God, but they were growing older and older. And then you know what happened? Abraham took matters into his own hands with Sarah's maidservant and Ishmael, and that didn't work out very well at all, did it? But it's interesting that God said, even though there was this thing that happened with Hagar, that God said, I want you to sacrifice your one and only son. Because it was at a time when Sarah was well past childbearing age that God gave this promise, Isaac. And the word Isaac actually means, that's not possible. It means laughter. It means laughter. When God was telling Abraham that Sarah would have a son, she was in the tent, and she began to laugh. And the name Isaac means laughter. So this promised son that finally came, God said, I want you to sacrifice your one and only son. Now, biblically, God would never ask anyone to do human sacrifice. That was already written in the Word of God. But what God was doing is he was testing Abraham. Now, most commentators would suggest that Isaac was perhaps 14, 16, maybe 18, or even as old as 20 years, but he was a boy. He was a young boy. And so there was Abraham and Isaac, and they're going up the mountain of the Lord. And the boy is familiar with sacrifice because all of the Old Testament pointed to sacrifice. And he said, well, Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, well, God will provide the sacrifice. And then Abraham and Isaac, they're building the altar. And they built the altar. And Isaac is saying, Dad, where's the sacrifice? We don't have this conversation. It just says that Abraham began to tie him up. I can now see Abraham saying, son, actually, I'm just going to tie you up here. So just lie down on the altar, son. Like this is a boy. Lie down on the altar, and I'm going to tie your feet up here, son. And son, I'm going to tie your hands up. And so there's Isaac lying on the altar. And then he sees his father. He sees his father. Lift up the knife. You see, Abraham had figured in his heart, Scripture tells us, that if he killed his son, God would raise him from the dead. Unto us, a son is given. unto us a son is given. I'm sure that there were some words that were spoken. The Bible just doesn't tell us. But it says Abraham raised his hand to sacrifice his son. And you know what this says to me and to those of us who've seen the Lord? God wants nothing to come between us and the Savior. Amen. God wants us to put Jesus on our hearts numero uno. He's got the knife up and the angel of the Lord tells him to stop and stays his hand. And there, Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering in the place of his son on the mountain. And this picture is a picture of the Son of God that was to come. Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, or the Lord will provide. And so we see in this name, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. We see the picture of the mountain of the Lord. We see the picture of the time when God gave his son for you. And it says there in Genesis, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. You know what we need to understand at Christmas and every day of our lives as we've seen Christ? That God gave us the supreme sacrifice of his son. There's nothing greater that God could have given to us. He gave us the supreme sacrifice of his son. Unto us, a son is given. And I think you know this text. Would you say it with me, please? For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The Son of God must be seen. The Son of God and the Son of God alone. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the God who brings us salvation. And the third thing that we see in this unveiling of Simeon's words is this. The Son of God is sent to all nations. The Son of God is sent everywhere. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. The Son of God is sent to all nations. And I'd like to talk about our nation of Canada for a moment. I want to just talk to you about the nation that we're living in. And I want to talk to you about the fact that God is bringing people from all over the world into this nation of Canada. In fact, in this congregation, we have some 55 birth nations just in our congregation alone. And God is bringing people from all over the world to study in colleges and to study in universities. And you know what God wants to do? God wants us to understand that the Son of God is sent to all nations. And I believe that Canada in these last days is going to have a very significant role to play and is playing already a significant role in the gospel of Jesus Christ going out to the ends of the earth. There are people that are coming to Canada and they're studying a degree, they're studying a program, they're getting whatever they need to get, but do you know what else they're getting? They're finding Jesus Christ and they're being sent back to their nations. And I want to say something about our congregation as well. You know, in our congregation, I'm praying one day that there will be 100 birth nations in this church. If you can agree with that, say amen. So here's what I want you to do. Every time you see somebody that's from another nation that you don't know, I want you to go up to them and say, hi, how are you? How long have you been coming here? And just introduce yourself to them and let them know who you are. And the more nations that we get in this place, do you know what I think of? I think of the throne room of heaven. Because around the throne room of heaven, do you know who's going to be there? There's going to be people from every tribe and people from every language and people from every nation. So I'm just praying that God will continue to draw the nations into this place. And I need to make a confession to you now. In February, we're going to be doing something. And we'll do it for you, but we're really doing it for me too. We're going to be doing a new photo directory because there's already a lot of you that I don't know and I need to get to know you. And so in February, we're going to be having a photo directory and it will help us to get to know one another. And so you just be kind of putting that in your calendar that when we partake in this photo directory, it will just let us be able to see who we are and to get to know one another a little bit better. But the Son of God is sent to all nations. And here's the great news that I have for you. God has called you. We are called to make his glory known. God has put his touch upon our lives. God has put his calling upon our lives. God's given us this job. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I'll tell you something. As we understand that the Son of God is sent into all the nations, and as we do our job in making his name known, do you know what's going to happen? This will result in people making a personal choice. And that's exactly what salvation is. Salvation is a personal choice. I'll tell you, if we as parents, if we could snap our fingers and see our children saved, we'd be snapping our toes for crying out loud. If we could jump and see our neighbors saved, like, we'd be jumping all the way home today, wouldn't we? But we can't do that because it's a personal choice. And you know, if some of you young people, you're just the greatest. We have the greatest young people in the whole wide world. Give them a hand right over here. But I want to say this. I want to say this to you. If you have a mom and a dad that love God, and a grandma and a grandpa that loved God, and a great-grandma and a great-grandpa that loved God, guess what? None of that matters. It's your choice. It's a personal choice. And I say that to the rest of you in the congregation. You know, I don't know, maybe there's somebody here and your spiritual heritage is so amazing, it goes back to the time when Peter confessed Jesus. You've traced it all the way back on ancestry.ca. That will do nothing for you unless you choose to follow Jesus Christ yourself. It's your choice. And Mary couldn't have understood these words. This child is destined. He didn't say to cause a few. Like, Mary understood that he was going to be the Savior. This child, newborn, this child is destined to cause how many? Say it with me. Many in Israel to fall. But he'll be a joy to many others. He's been sent as a sign from God. And he didn't say that a few will oppose him, but he said that how many? Many. And it's the same today, friends. Canada has been called a Christian country, but guess what? Many oppose him here. But that's okay, because God has promised in these end times that he is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and many are going to come to find him as well. But I want to say to you today, if you're sitting in this room, or perhaps you're listening on our web and you're hearing this message, if you only mentally know about Jesus, listen to me now. It's up to you to make a personal decision, to say yes to Christ, to say, living Lord Jesus, come into my life, cleanse me from my sin, and because he's alive, he will change your life forever. The Son of God is sent to all nations. And now this, I think we need to understand in a fresh way as the people of God. Simeon said to Mary, the Son of God will bring a sword to Mary's soul. I don't think she understood this at all. I think this so puzzled Mary. She had angels visiting her, and there's shepherds that are coming to the birth of Christ, and there's going to be wise men coming a little bit later. The Son of God will bring a sword to Mary's soul. We need to understand this. As a result, Simeon said, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. I'll tell you something. Mary didn't understand it then. But I think even as Jesus grew up, and you know that there were other brothers and sisters in the house, and none of them believed in Jesus. There was a time, actually, when Jesus was in a house, and his brothers came to him and said, you know what, like, you're talking like you're the Messiah. You better get out of here. They didn't believe in him. That must have caused Mary pain, because it causes us pain when our children don't believe. But I'll tell you something that caused her the greatest pain when she saw her son tied to the whipping post, the son who she thought was going to be the Savior of the world. And when she saw on that whipping post, Jesus Christ receiving the stripes that he bore for our salvation, by his stripes we are healed. And when she walked up that road, and she saw her son fall, and he could no longer carry the cross because he was so abused physically that he could hardly walk, so he was dragged up the mountain. And you know what? Think about this, mums and dads too. when a son is being given for you? Jesus' mother heard his cry on the mountain of the Lord. You see, crucifixion was for the worst. Crucifixion was the worst kind of death. It was for terrible criminals. It was for people who didn't deserve to live in the eyes of the government. And the government was saying, if this is the kind of person you're going to be, this is the kind of fate you're going to have. Biblically, anyone who was crucified was accursed by God. For you, for us, a son is given. And Mary heard her son's cry. You see, darkness fell over the land for 3 hours. And I don't just think just a physical darkness, but there was a spiritual darkness. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, my God, why have you abandoned me? And I think it's important for us who have our home in heaven to understand what the cross means to us, because all of us share in the call to daily carry our cross. All of us share in that call. Jesus said that any of us can follow him, but all of us share in the call to daily carry our cross. Look at what he said. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily and follow me. I have a question for you. It's not a trick question. Was it easy for Jesus to go to the cross? I'll tell you what, it's neither easy for you to do this. It's not easy for you every day to deny your selfish ways. I mean, it's natural to be selfish. It's not easy for you every day to pick up your cross and follow me. But you know what? If you do, Jesus said, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. Like if you just want to say, I'm a Christian and live selfish, you're not real. You haven't seen. But if you're answering the call, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Would you please say, give up? Say it again, give up. Say it again, give up. Now, I never want you to give up, but you know what God wants you to do? To give up. Give up. Give up. If you give up your life, if you die to yourself, if you take up your cross and follow him daily, you will know the abundant life that only Jesus Christ can provide. And here's what I need you to understand about living the cross life. There are some times that God will call you to enter into the sufferings of Jesus. There are some times in life that there's going to be circumstances and trials and tests that come into your life that are painful and they're hurtful. And you're saying, God, why is this happening to me? And you just are to enter into the sufferings of Jesus in those days. And Jesus will give you his grace. And Jesus will supply all that you need. Because I'll tell you something, friends. You want to know what the greatest gift of all is that you can know about at Christmas? The greatest gift of all that you can share with anybody at Christmas? The greatest gift of all that you can witness someone unwrapping and receiving? There is nothing greater than knowing that you are God's child. Nothing greater than that. 1 John puts it like this, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that's exactly what we are. You're his child. How many of you here have children? Can I see your hand? Anybody have grandchildren? Okay, how many of you have pictures of your kids on your smartphones? Grandkids on your smartphones? If God's got a smartphone, your picture's on it. It's true. You're his child. And you know what God does? He says, look at this. Look at what my child did. Hey, angels, come over here. Look, he was being tempted. Look at what he did. Look what she did. Look what she did. Look how she lived her life. Check this out. Hey, come and see this. Get over here, angels. Come see. Moses, come check this out. Look at my child. Unto us, for us, a son is given. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. And Lord, the Son of God has to be seen, has to be seen. I just pray for anybody that's here who knows about Jesus but hasn't seen him, that even right now, you'll just simply say yes. All you need to do in your heart of hearts is say yes to Jesus. Yes, Lord, come into my life, come into my heart. I want to know you more. Because it's only Jesus who brings forth salvation. And I want to thank you for this church. We understand that Jesus is sent to all of the nations. And God, just equip us to do your work in that way. And Lord, for those who understand, they understand because of what they're going through right now. In some ways, what Simeon was saying when he said, a sword will pierce your soul. Because some are walking through a season of suffering or what's called a dark night of the soul, or they're in a desert place. God, I pray that you'll come alongside of them and just lift them up in that place in Jesus' name. And I want to thank you, Lord, that we're no longer slaves to sin, but we're children of the living God. Would you stand with me and we're going to sing this chorus? And let's rejoice in the gift that we have in the Son of God.